Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Green alligators and long-necked geese. Some Humpty Bacchamas and some chimpanzees. Some cats and rats.
Longtime watchers of WGN TV know that this was the theme song for Dr. Lester Fisher's Ark in the Park. The feature that he would do on the Ray Rayner Show, bringing animals from the Lincoln Park Zoo, where he was director for more than 30 years. And as I said, Dr. Fisher just turned 100 years old and is just as with it and just as caring and just as lovable as ever. And we were happy that we were able to sit down with him and remember his amazing career at Lincoln Park Zoo, where he went as a boy.
When I was a little boy, about the time you say when you were a little boy, that my family, it was an outing on a Sunday to come to Lincoln Park Zoo. So I started here probably when I was just a few years old. But to me, the zoo has just been sort of part of my life. Between those early visits and the fact that medically I spent years here part-time looking after the health of the animals, and then to succeed Marlon Perkins and be the director for 30 years, it definitely is part of me. And coming here today to visit with you is kind of a very positive but nostalgic feeling.
What do you think about when you go through, as you were coming into this building to meet me here today and looking around? You have the perspective of remembering what it was like when you first started here.
I think the important thing is that I'm comfortable that the animals are getting the best possible care in the best possible environment to be in. I look back on, in the early years, Lincoln Park Zoo was like other 50 to 100 year old public facilities. It was mainly cement, barred cages, and it was a way for people just to come and look in the cage and see the animal, and it was not a comfort thing. And now, I think one of the positive things that has no relation to the animal is the fact that it's been called a zoological garden. And the Chicago Park District that own and operate Lincoln Park area and the buildings, to them it was always a challenge to be able to create the garden part. And I look back on the gardens in front of the conservatory next door and always thought we ought to pull those gardens into the zoo, not next to it. And happily, they've done that. Since the Zoo Society took over the management or operation of this place, they've put emphasis on that. So it's kind of a really nice comfort feeling to see the physical plant changed, the animals' home changed, the garden has changed, and it's just a very nice feeling to be able to know that the old zoo is now, relatively speaking, the new zoo.
It must make you feel so proud, does it?
Oh, very much so. And I even look back and remember one time when Mayor Daley's father was here, and I was visiting with them, and I said, you know, Mr. Mayor, this is one of the few neutral, happy places in Chicago. And he said, Dr. Fisher, why do you say that? And I say, because on a nice Sunday afternoon, we can put 20 to 25,000 people in there and not worry about trouble, about policemen, just people coming to enjoy their zoo.
Wasn't it Ray Kroc from McDonald's that was one of the first guys to give you a huge, huge check to get all that going?
Oh, that was a momentous occasion for me. Someone set up this lunch with Joan and Ray Kroc, And in the course of it, he kept reminding me that a restaurant is only as good as its kitchen. And the fact that we had no so-called facilities specifically to handle the food and do stuff. And so we had a nice lunch and a nice visit. And at the end of it, Ray said, I'm going to support you. And he sat down and wrote me $1 million check. And to me, that was just something unbelievably nice. And I thanked him, of course. I could have walked on water that day. And after that, we had a good relationship personally because Ray happens to be a Bohemian. He's from Czecho, the old country. And my parents also came from Czechoslovakia. So we started a dialogue. And when they left Chicago and moved out to the West Coast, I alerted the zoo people out there and said, here's someone you want to look into and after. And they also worked with Ray out there, and I think the Los Angeles Zoo got a nice gift equally.
Yeah. Have there been like really memorable moments for you here? I'm sure there's a million, you know, great things that you can think of, but are there one or two things that happened here, one or two changes that you made, one or two visits by famous people, maybe one or two incidents that happened?
Well, one thing that's current, and that is that Prince Philip, the person in England who is the husband of the Queen, he came here on a wildlife tour of various places in the country, and I think Hope McCormick was the lady who sort of underwrote a special lunch for the Prince. And so he came to visit. And in addition, at that time, one of our male gorillas had come from England as part of a breeding loan. And Kisoro was the name of the animal, I believe. And that was kind of special for me. I never thought I'd get to see His Royal Highness, but we stood there and looked at Kisoro and enjoyed the visit.
You were longtime friends, I imagine you are still longtime friends with Betty White, who's a longtime supporter and friend, right?
Betty and I go way, way back, I don't know how far, 30, 40 years maybe. And I met her when I was brought on the board of the Morris Animal Foundation out in Denver. That's a group that are concerned about animal health and medical issues. And so Betty and I at all the board meetings would get together. And one time, there's a classic story, which is a true one. Betty came to my apartment here in Chicago for dinner one time during a visit. And at the end of the nice dinner and friendly chatter, she got up and said, I think it's time I leave. And I said, oh, you have to come with me. And she said, where? And I said, to the bedroom. And she looked at me and in classic Betty White way, she said, that's the best offer I've had today. And so we went to my bedroom, and my wife had been collecting Raggedy Ann dolls. And I said to Betty, she'd like you to have one. And so Betty said, you really mean that? And I said, of course, Wendy would be happy. And so she picked out a Raggedy and sat down and cried and said, I haven't had this since I was a little girl.
Wow. It's one of my favorite stories from Dr. Lester Fisher, longtime friends with Betty White, but typical Betty White, that's the best offer I've had all day, to something like that. We had a fantastic conversation with Dr. Fisher. He just turned 100 years old, which is amazing. And he lives in Hayward, Wisconsin now. His daughter and son-in-law drove him down to Chicago to go to the zoo. They were looking at some new things that are happening at the zoo. And I met up with them there, and we sat down in the ape house, which is fantastic. You know, we're talking, and these apes are running around their areas. So interesting. And just took me back to being a kid again when I would watch Dr. Lester Fisher on WGN showing the animals on the different programs. And that is one of the things that we talked about with Dr. Lester Fisher.
Very lucky break for me, because my predecessor, Marlon Perkins, was Mr. Television here in Chicago in the early years, in the late 40s. And they were looking for someone to bring some animals just to fill time on television, and Marlon brought some animals down. Unfortunately, toward the end of his time here in Chicago, he was spending as much or more time on television work than he was perhaps in zoo work, direct management, and so on. And so when I became director and people started asking me, well, are you going to be on TV? And I said, no, thank you. I don't think I really should get into that. And happily, WGN was very persistent. And finally, I said to them, I said, if you go down and get permission from my superintendent and the commissioners, I'll be glad to give it a go. And they did, and I did, and I started doing a little local TV stuff, I think, on Saturday morning. And finally, Ray Rayner got in touch with me and said, would you be willing to spend some time on my show? And I said, of course, Ray. And so twice a week, for about 8 minutes or 9 minutes, I would bring animals to your studio. And Ray just remains one of the most spectacular people, in my opinion, that there is. Many, many people to this day think if they do a 30-minute TV show once a week, that that's important. And Ray ended up doing 1 hour, if I remember, 5 days a week, right, in addition to some theater. And so, to me, that was one of the great relationships to be with Ray Rayner. And again, he genuinely was scared of animals when we first started. And at times, literally, I couldn't hand him the leash of my collie dog because he wasn't comfortable. But I think that that's what helped put Lincoln Park Zoo on the map here in Chicago. I guess that was told at that time that more people watched the Ray Rayner show than other so-called stations combined. And so that was my great break. And many, many years I enjoyed with Ray. And finally, he even started bringing your technical people here to the zoo, in addition to my carrying case little small animals to your studio. So that's how all that happened, Dean.
Were you able to, you know, go out to restaurants, to stores? People must have stopped and recognized you all the time back then.
Unfortunately, it was embarrassing, yes. I became, I guess, a TV celebrity in town because of my time with Ray, not because I was Les Fisher zoo director, and I always understood that. And the fact that he in turn got over his phobia about wondering how close he should be to an animal, that was very satisfying to me. And he enjoyed it, of course, coming here. It was a break for your crew. They had a good time, and we would tape anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7 shows in the course of one working day.
And very much the way that you changed the way people viewed zoos and the way zoos operated, I think also you were one of the first on television to do this. Now there's not a talk show around that doesn't bring some animal expert in.
I felt good about that because it was an opportunity again for the education. And I felt so strongly about the fact that the zoo should be part of whatever curriculum there is going on. And it was a nice thing to do. So I feel good, yes, in the education area. I always wanted to bring some animals to the children in the hospitals in Chicago, and the physicians would not hear of it. The ones that were connected to the hospital would say they might be bitten, they might be scratched, they might bring some bugs. And one of the local hospitals, La Rabida on the south side here in Chicago, agreed to let me try it. And happily, I not only brought animals there, But after the first few visits, the doctors and nurses were waiting for me, and they would take the carrying case and the animals. And after that, we were welcome to any other hospital in Chicago. So that was a nice thing that I was able to feel good about.
Yeah. You have just turned 100 years old. Everyone's asking you to what you attribute your longevity. But I'm just wondering how you feel about turning 100 years old.
It's kind of hard to explain the feeling because it's not even real. It's just something that's happened. I've been fortunate in the sense that here in this very building that we're doing this, I had my 99th birthday, and I did that thinking that I may never make it to 100. And here I am chatting with you very happily, and I'm over 100 years old, but by sheer good luck, I have trouble with eyes and with legs and other things, but at the same time, I still am healthy, relatively speaking. And so I think I'm just a lucky guy. Yeah. A lot of good genes and a lot of good care, a lot of good support people, great medical people that I've lived with and worked with. And I think beyond that, all I can say is I hope that I'm around for a little longer.
Yeah, we sure hope that too. A 100-year-old Dr. Lester Fisher, Director Emeritus, the Lincoln Park Zoo. He was the director himself from 1962 to 1992 for 30 years and really transformed the zoo and is such a part of the Chicago landscape, not only for all he did for the Lincoln Park Zoo, but part of the Chicago television scene for decades, part of WGN-TV with his own show for a little while. And then on a regular on the Ray Rayner and his friends morning show, regular on the Bozo show, bringing animals in. Just one of the nicest guys, very, very gentle and very lovely and charismatic. I mean, people have been texting in memories of Dr. Lester Fisher this morning. Somebody sent a text, the 630 area code said, "I have a wonderful Dr. Fisher story. When my wife was dying from cancer, we took her to the zoo. She had always wanted to see a baby orangutan. Dr. Fisher arranged for that to happen. She died several months after, but it was one of the happiest occasions that she and I experienced together. I will always appreciate him." Not one bit surprised to hear that. Dr. Fisher was just, you know, that much of a wonderful, wonderful you know, man. 630 area code here saying, Dean, enjoying the interview with Dr. Fisher. My husband had the opportunity to work with Dr. Fisher at the Berwyn Animal Clinic. Dr. Fisher got him a scholarship to U of I. My husband was always thankful for getting his start with animals because of Dr. Fisher. So, I mean, there's story after story after story like that. If you want to hear the whole interview, if you want to see the story that I did on television on Dr. Fisher, you'll get to see some footage from the old Ark in the Park segments, some old photographs, some classic vintage photographs. If you go to WGNTV.com/Dean's List, WGNTV.com/Dean's List, you can take a look at the whole thing. Cheers.